Lord Brahma, Surya, the sun god, Vishvasu, the eight Vasus, the Sadhyas, the Maruts, the Rudras, the Siddhas, and Marichi, and the other great rishis engaged in maintaining the departmental affairs of the universe, as well as the best of the demigods headed by Brihaspati, and the great sages headed by Bhrigu, are all certainly freed from the influence of two base material modes of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Nevertheless, although we are in the mode of goodness, we cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is to be said of others who, under illusion, merely speculate how to know God? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The men and other living entities within this cosmic manifestation are controlled by the three modes of nature. For the living entities controlled by the base qualities of nature, passion and ignorance, there is no possibility of understanding God. Even those in the mode of goodness, like the many demigods and great rishis described in these verses, cannot understand the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is situated in the devotional service of the Lord is transcendental to all the material qualities. Therefore, the Lord personally says that no one can understand him but the bhaktas, who are transcendental to all material qualities. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. As stated by Bhishma Dev to Maharaj Yudhisthira in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16, na yasya karichid rajan puman veda viditsitam yad vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. No one, therefore, can understand God by speculative knowledge. Indeed, by speculation one will be bewildered. Muyanti. This is also confirmed by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidyatidhi siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin maham veti tattataha. Among many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection, and even among the siddhas, those who have already become perfect, only one who adopts the process of bhakti, devotional service, can understand Krishna. Actually, no one can understand Krishna by their own efforts. What is mean to be said is that Krishna only reveals himself to his devotees. Otherwise, I can understand what this pair of kartals are by exercising my senses. I can understand this flower garland, so many things. In the phenomenal world, the empirical process seems to work. But Krishna, atasi Krishna nama adi nabhaved grayam indriyai. Krishna cannot be approached simply by extending the senses. Sevan mukhe hi jivado. He can be known only by those devotees who glorify him, who surrender to him. The propensity to glorify someone is already there. We all, to one degree or another, are glorifying someone. And if we say that I do not glorify anyone, well, we're actually glorifying ourselves, aren't we? But the Vedic scriptures are teaching us to glorify the supreme object of glorification, the supreme person, Ekale Ishar Krishna Arsabhritya. There's no one equal to him and no one greater than him. He's Asam Ordva. No one equal, Asama, no one Ordva, greater. Why? Because he's Bhagavan. He has all opulences in full. Our tendency is to glorify someone who has some opulence. It may be a great amount of one of the opulences, or a relative amount of all of the opulences, beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, and detachment. But Krishna is that person who has all the opulences. He's Sad Aishvarya, six opulences, Purna, in total, in fullness, completely. Therefore, it is natural to glorify Krishna. Krishna, the very name Krishna suggests that he is all attractive. When someone glorifies Krishna by his faith, by hearing about Krishna, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, by hearing about Krishna, the tendency to glorify Krishna will automatically evolve. Someone who is not corrupted by enviousness, by an exploitative mentality, someone who is at least open, innocent, if they hear about Krishna, naturally they'll be inspired. That's why we take so much trouble to distribute the glories of Krishna in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books, in the form of Harinam Sankirtan, even in the form of prasadam. Ultimately, if people enjoy the prasadam, it will lead them to ask, well, what is this food which makes it so special? And then they'll get an opportunity to understand that it is blessed by Krishna. Krishna is the bhokta, the supreme enjoyer. And when he enjoys, everyone enjoys. Otherwise, Krishna is adhoksaja. He's transcendental to the material world. It's not possible to understand him. Only if he decides to reveal himself. For example, if I want to meet President Bush, he's hiding in the bushes. It's very difficult to meet him. He has his security guards and his Air Force One and Two and Three and whatever. Not possible to meet the president. But if President Bush wants to come and see me, there is no difficulty. So Krishna is unfathomable. Krishna cannot be known by... It is bhaktya tvananyaya shakya hamevam vidho arjuna gyatum drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. For the limited to know the limits of the unlimited, not possible. But gyatum drashtum chatatvena, we can know him by becoming his devotee. He orders us. He is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya bhavavo. He is the all-powerful personality of Godhead. He orders us to surrender. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Bow down to me. Bow your proud head down on the floor in front of my murti, in front of my devotees. Mad bhakta, become my devotee. Yat karoshi yat asnashi yat juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi konta yat tatkursu madarpanam. All that you do, all that you offer, all that you give away, all that you eat, all sacrifices, everything you do it for me, he's telling. So if we agree to do that, at least if we agree to start the process, and it's called Shraddha. Adao Shraddha. In the beginning there must be this faith. Then Krishna will reveal himself, and that is the only reason he would reveal himself. Nobody can know Krishna, not even the great rishis, because they do not adopt the process of first surrendering. They want to know. They pride themselves in their jnana, knowledge. So they extend their senses, albeit they have some sort of transcendental approach. Ye and ye vrindaksha vimukta maninas. They become liberated in mind only, and padantiyada, they fall down from that platform, or they enter into Brahman. It is possible. It is possible for them to enter into Brahman. And from there, they can make progress, but it is a slow process. They have no conception of the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar, Trivanga Lalita, the threefold bending form, playing on his flute, eyes adorned with beautiful lotus flowers, peacock feather in his hair, with Vaijayanti mala, with beautiful garlands and beautiful yellow dhoti and Kaustubha jewel on his Srivatsa, mark of Srivatsa on his chest. They have no concept, no idea. And therefore, they can practice their meditation, their jnana, bahunam jammanam ante, jnanavan. After many, many lifetimes of acquiring jnana, maybe they can become jnanavan, or an ultimate knower. Then they'll come back to the same stage anyway, vasudeva sarvamiti. They have to come to that point, and then they have to engage in service to the Supreme. That is our natural constitutional relationship with Krishna. That is the gum, that is the bond, that is the interaction through service. We have no other approach. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambhragam yo vayor. Atapi manaso muni pungavanam. So many big, big munis practice for a very long time. Pantastu koti shatavatsarasam. But still, they cannot prapadasimya avichintya tate. They cannot even approach the toe. Krishna's lotus foot. They can't even approach his toenail, by their process, even though they try so hard. Adurlabham atma bhaktav. He's easy to understand by his devotees, because the devotees have no mood of competition. They just want to surrender. They have no separate individual desire. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They just want God's desire to become their desire. They become one with God in purpose. One with God. in purpose, in spirit. They just want to do His work. And in a practical way, we can understand God's desire by serving the spiritual master. The spiritual master is fixed in devotional service to Krishna. He has no other self-interest. He is a pure devotee. So by pleasing Him, we can also become pure devotees by the grace of Krishna. So, this is the only process by which the beginning, the middle, and the end are the same. The realization goes on increasing. Krishna goes on revealing Himself. But the process is the same. Chanting, dancing, feasting. It is the same for a neophyte devotee, and it is the same for a very experienced, mature devotee. The process of bhakti yoga. And only in this way can we get free from the modes of passion and ignorance. We want to get free. The modes of passion and ignorance. We even want to transcend the mode of goodness. But before we can do that, first of all, we may exhibit enthusiasm. There's a difference between enthusiasm and passion. Devotees may be very enthusiastic, and sometimes people may misconstrue or misidentify that as passion. We have lots of enthusiasm, but not for ourselves. Devotees may utilize anything in the service of the Lord. That is this Phalgu Vairagya and Vairagya Vidya. That is renunciation and knowledge. Proper renunciation. Yukta Vairagya. To use everything in the service of the Lord. So it may appear like the devotee is under the modes of material nature, but he has transcended them because he's simply interested in serving the Lord. And very quickly, the devotee will be freed. His realization will bring him to the point of understanding Krishna. Understanding his relationship with Krishna. Maturing in his relationship with Krishna. He will go deeper and deeper. Krishna will reveal more and more. Until a point will come where the devotee is acting in the material world, but his mind is totally fixed on his transcendent Lord. Just like a woman who carries water pot on her head in the village. You see this in India. They carry water pots on their head, full with water, balancing on their head, while walking along the village road. It's not exactly your nicely paved, flat road. So many stones and prickles. And what? Walking along that road and not exactly at every moment balancing, but talking to the children, talking to their friends. But at every moment their mind is somehow also fixed on that water pot. So in the same way, the devotee acts within the material world. He acts enthusiastically for the service of Krishna. But more and more he becomes detached, just like a coconut The meat of the coconut is attached to the shell when it is apaka, or unripe. But as the coconut becomes very ripe, the meat gets separated from the shell, and you can shake it and you can hear coconut meat and even the milk. It's separated from the shell, so the devotee no longer has anything to do with the cosmos. He has a body. He's eating, he's sleeping, he may even be mating, defending by depending on Krishna. But Krishna is in his heart, and he's with Krishna. He's surrendered to Krishna, he's serving Krishna's lotus feet. While appearing to be walking, talking, moving about, evacuating, appearing to do all these things, but it's just the modes of material nature. Well, in the devotee's case, the transcendental modes that are moving his body. He knows that he does nothing. He simply focuses on. This is a big realization, to understand that we do nothing. Everything is done by Krishna, either by his external energy or by his internal potency, but the material nature, material energy, mayadhyakshena prakriti, sumyate sa characharam, hetunanena kunteya, jagad viparivartate. Most people are struggling. Devotees don't struggle. They're fixed in serving Krishna. And they're happy. They're peaceful. They have nothing to be gained. They have no ambition for themselves. They enthusiastically work for the Lord, and they accept whatever results the Lord renders them. And they don't grow older. They grow deeper. Devotees don't grow older, they grow deeper in love with Krishna. So until people take this step to follow the Mahajanas, all the great devotees of the Lord, even the demigods know their shortcomings. But we're more fortunate than the demigods. Although sometimes we think, well, it would be nice to have a big home. It would be nice to have wealth. It would be nice to have all kinds of material comforts. Hey, go for it. Become Indra. Become Chandra. Become Surya. Become Yamaraj. They're also devotees. You can have nice facility. But you may forget Krishna's supreme opulence. You may get entangled. You're rightly situated, right here in the material, in this earthly loka. Where we are now is perfect for devotional service. Suffering is there, but opportunities is there. It's not too much suffering. And we don't realize, if you want to see what suffering is, then go to Somalia. And if you don't feel like going to Somalia, then just see Black Hawk Down. You'll see what is suffering. Go to Ethiopia. Hey, go to Lebanon. Right now on this planet, there are about 30 big wars going on. People are getting slaughtered. Innocent people getting murdered, killed, raped, tortured. So this should be impetus for all of us to get out of the material world, to maintain steadiness in our devotional service. It's not a long haul, it's a short time. You've only got 50, 60, 70 years. It's not a long time. Of course, Chaitanya Balabha, he may have 100 years, I don't know. He's already 70. But he's a pure Brahmana. For us Malechas, we can't say. It really doesn't matter. Grihe Thako, Vane Thako. In this body or in a spiritual body or wherever we are. Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschana Bibhiti. The devotees are never afraid of any existence, Swarga or Apavarga. Whether you're in heaven or hell. Narak. Narak means hell. Svarga. Apavarga. None of the pavargas. Pa-pa-pa-pa-ma. They're described as the miseries of the material world. A very nice description. But even if you're in Svarga, where the duration of life is very long, unless you can know Krishna. Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu veda na kaschana. I know everything that happened in the past, I know the future, I know everything that's happening right now, I know all living entities, but mam tu veda na kaschana. Nobody knows me. But he can reveal himself to his pure devotee. So somehow or other, by any means, perform tapasya and serve Krishna. Tapasya is for clearing your disease, your skin disease. Tapasya may come in the form of deity worship. Tapasya may come in the form of book distribution. Tapasya may come in the form of traveling and preaching. Tapasya may come in being steady in one's grihastha ashram. That's a big tapasya. Much easier to be a brahmachari. Much easier to be a brahmachari. But grihastha ashram is necessary. In fact, there are very few sannyasis. And a little bit more are vanaprasthas, and a little bit more are brahmacharis, but most of society will be grihasthas. Otherwise, how we can pay off the Turley case? We need money. So, it's hard to be a married man, married woman. It's austerity. So you perform austerity, tapo dibhyam, transcendental austerity. And very quickly you will be like this photo on Srimad Bhagavatam, like the four Kumaras offering their obeisances to Lord Vishnu in the beautiful spiritual world. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.